peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
People are living in a world of darkness. This is an accurate description of the way many people feel today. They're living in spiritual darkness. They require spiritual illumination and a divine light, Jesus Christ, the originator of that spiritual light. Pastor Pancho will be talking about that today and teaching us how we come out from darkness into light. As we draw lessons today in the Gospel of John, we'll continue to look at chapter 1 and the first 11 verses on this edition of On the Level Radio, coming up next.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
And now with today's program of On the Level, here's Pastor Pancho.
This is the description of darkness versus light. In the Bible, to describe darkness, it always speaks about fear, phobic fear, not the reverence fear of God. We all need the fear of God. This is inexplainable fear. When I see people here, most of the time I see in Montebello, knuckleheads. When you're driving, if you see a knucklehead, you know what I mean by a knucklehead, right? Watch his posture. Watch his gait, G-A-I-T, his walk. Watch how spook he is. They're always walking and they're always watching their back. Always spooked out, always. They're always spooked out. So when they get stopped by the police, they always ask this stupid question to the police officers. Oh, how come you got me? What made you come after me? Dude, you stand out. You're hiding from something. You're running from something. You look phobic. I still have that. I've been a Christian for 30 years. When a black and white gets behind me, I freak out. I freak out. Same thing when I go to a doctor's office. They put me in the doctor's office and it's cold. They got the air conditioner on and you know what I mean. And my blood pressure goes up and they go, oh, man, here we go. And here comes the doctor and he goes, hello. And I get the shillies, you know? And so in the same way, this is that fear, but light has comfort. Ignorance. You ever heard that expression? Enlighten me. Oh, I need to be enlightened. Ignorance versus knowledge and enlightenment. Evil versus goodness. Wickedness versus godliness. Crime versus virtue and honesty. Depravity and kindness. Sin, salvation, lost, found, blindness, sight, punishment, forgiveness, and exposure. What? For exposure? Yes. The Bible says, Jesus said that when the light comes, he exposes you. I'd rather be exposed by God than be busted by man. You understand that? I'd rather be exposed by God than to be busted by man, because man has no mercy. Look at John chapter 8. And they bring that lady in. She was committing adultery. Man decides who comes. Where's the man? Where's the accusation? We caught her in the very act. Well, what were you doing? Peeping Toms? What were you doing? You see, man doesn't show grace. God always shows grace. So we have lying in darkness versus truthfulness, despair with assurance, and death and life. Death versus life. Now we are told in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So I want to just share a little bit about what life is. Let me give you. Now, life, again, is a popular term with John. He uses it 36 times in the gospel, 13 times in 1 John and 15 times in the book of Revelation. Now, John equates Jesus with deity in that just as the Father is the fountain of life, so is Jesus Christ. Now, we need to find out what kind of life, because see, we have different kinds of lifestyle. We have army life, we have gang life, we have prison life, we have married life, we have single life. This is a different, what are we talking about? Now, I'm not going to speak about the what is life distinguishes the organisms from the dead organisms and all the metabolism and the growth and the reproduction. We're going to skip all that. Okay, because when you look at definition of life, there's around 15 definitions. We're not going to go through all that. But it's a living being, especially a person. It is the physical, mental, and spiritual experiences that constitute existing. Your life. Your life. Now, as you're studying this, examine your own life. Paul says, hey, examine yourself, whether in the faith. Examine yourself. What is self-examination? Just that, self-examination. You take stock and inventory of your life. You make an assessment. You make an appraisal of your own life. What am I doing? If you're married, what am I doing as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father, as a grandfather, as a grandmother? Where am I at right now? You see, what kind of life are we living? Some people are living very broken lives. Some people are living drastic, miserable lives. As we speak right now, there are other people, they find contentment. They're content. For right now, they're content. They're supposed to be right where they're supposed to be, and there's a quality of life. But it's a human existence that has to do with relationships or activity in general. Real life, everyday life, the manner of living, a specific characteristic manner of existence, it is a source of vitality, liveliness or vitality, animation. But here's what Vine's expository dictionary says. The word for life here is the word Zoe. Zoe. Life as a principle. Life in the absolute sense, life as God has it. That which the Father has in himself and which he gave to the incarnate Son to have in himself and which the Son manifested in the world. When we get to John chapter 5 verse 26, Jesus will say to you and I, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. So Jesus came to this world giving his life for this world. He offered his life. And to you and I, he offered to have life and life more abundant. More of this principle life that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, what is life? Well, someone said, quote, life is not a situation, but it's a process. Not static, but dynamic. Its essential element is change. And the great question facing each of us is whether we will channel that change in that direction that we want to go, shaping our destiny, or whether we will permit our activities and our character to be determined by those random forces we call fate, unquote. Life is changes. Changes. Your life changes all the time. If you're over 50 like myself, life has changed. I'm what we call now a midlife man. I wish I was young again, only that I could learn how to play basketball. Because I'm a soccer freak. I'm an immigrant. Soccer was my thing. Basketball, baseball, foreign to me. It isn't until I got older that I understood that there is actually strategy in basketball. I didn't know that. I thought it was just jungle ball, man. I wish I was younger for other reasons. But I like where I'm at right now. I won't change anything. If you were to find a drug for me right now and says, Punch, we found a drug. You can have hair. You know that I can tell you comfortably right now that I wouldn't want hair? Honestly, it doesn't freak me out. I like the way I am. I'm content. It doesn't mean that I don't go through life with those changes. Because now I think more about my retirement. I think more of my life. I think of my parents. Some of us, we have to bury them. I go through changes. I live a real life. And it's very painful at times. Very painful. My life, I'm happy, man. I got my children. I got my wife that loves me. I have a home. I have a wonderful vocation, a ministry that God has given. I'm happy. But it doesn't exclude me from going through changes in life, man. You know, you get out of bed and it's not the same anymore. Oh, what happened, man? It's not the same anymore. I have to watch what I eat. I'm sleeping less. There were times when I would sleep like 12 hours. And now I'm waking up without an alarm clock. Things are happening in my life. And they can get scary for someone who has a midlife. And it gets worse for women. Worse for women. No, I'm serious. You know, I'm praying that God will give me a couple of lessons, maybe four, and have the married men come to my class and how to learn about the moods in our wives. There are reasons why they're weird, guys. But we won't go there yet. Life, man. Life has its up and down. Some people get so cynical about life that they actually put bumper stickers and they put life is the, and you fill in the blank. People are just cynical about life. They go through life, but they're not living. They're only existing. I call that the cockroach syndrome because they love darkness. They like to come out of dark, and they like to eat scraps, and they hate the light because once the light goes on, they go nuts. It looks like 2 o'clock in the morning at nightclubs. Remember that? For those of you that have never nightclub, let me tell you, man. It is weird. We're drinking. We're dancing. Woo-hoo. And what's your name? Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I have a Pantera. I have a Porsche. Yeah, I have my own condo in Monterey Park. Now, how about you? Oh, would you like to dance? No, no. Would you like? Okay, well, you know what? Forget y'all. Go ahead. Oh. And then the band says, this is our last song. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good night. Have a good night. And then they turn on the lights. They got wigs. They got false eyelashes. They got partials, man. They got orthopedic shoes on, everything. Whoa, man, what's happening, man? Whoa. You guys are laughing with conviction. That's... Some people get so cynical, they say, you know, we're mere animals. You ever heard that expression? We're only animals. I like what Dr. Emil Brunner said. Animals may have herd instinct, but they cannot know the meaning of fellowship. Animals may have curiosity, but they develop no science. Animals may play, but they develop no art. They fear, but they do not know the reverence for God. We're not animals. You see, we care about the elemental blessings which makes human life complete. The seven elements, the elemental, what are elemental? Same thing as fundamental or crucial. You need to have these seven elements to make human life complete. We need bread, don't we? Bread is a symbol of food. Not just bread, too many carbohydrates on a good diet, just bread. But bread is also metaphorically used as food for humans. But check this out. From the beginning of the children going in from Egypt to the new land, we are told in Scripture that God was testing them so they will know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, if you want to have a life without God, you don't need nothing but bread. This is all you need, bread. But the Bible says explicitly, in order for us to have the life that God wants us, does not consist only of consumption of food, but is the word of God that gives us life. The Bible says that the words of God our life into our soul. So man does not live by bread alone. And yet Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven, that he who eats of it, though he die, he will live forever. Do you believe that? That's what Jesus asked. And then water. When we get to John chapter 4, he'll tell the woman at the well who had been married several times and who was shacking up. He says, I can give you the fountain of living water. We need water to survive. Light, we're not talking about artificial light. You know that we need the actual sun rays to survive. We need light in our souls. And then we also need rest. What is rest? I like the English word, reposing. What is reposing? That means getting rest. That means getting your, it'll come to me. That means restoring your affliction for the day. Your body has been created so much so that our bodies get fatigued. And the word I'm trying to get is recuperation. When we go to sleep, our bodies shut down. Boom. You don't have to tell your heart to keep beating. You go to sleep, you crash with your tongue out, sticking out, and your heart keeps pumping. Your lungs keep breathing for you. Our body rests. And not only physical rest, but we also need mental rest, psychological rest. Now, you know and I know that people cannot rest if they're dealing with guilt, if they're dealing with shame, if they're dealing with dealing and wheeling under the table and they're jeopardizing their children, their home. Man can no longer sleep. They're not at rest. They're always agitated. They're always confused. They can't ever find rest. Bible says, man, there is no peace for the wicked. But God gives us rest. And then peace, the underlying, when I underline that word peace, and the underlying words are the words that he gave to his disciples in the discourse in the upper room. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That's love. And then he says, my joy. Let no one take my joy away from you. And then also his peace. Peace I give unto you. Not like the world do I give you peace. My peace. It's different, he said. He doesn't elaborate. It is Paul who elaborates in Philippians chapter 4. It is the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of God that protects your mind and your heart. So we have bread, we have water, we have light, we have rest, we have peace, and we also have power. Power, what kind of power? Well, when we get to Philippians, I believe next week, next Sunday, Paul says, I want to know Jesus Christ intimately. And he refers to the power of his what? Resurrection. But I also want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. But why the power of the resurrection? You see, if there was no resurrection, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if there is no resurrection, if there is no resurrection, if there is no resurrection, he says we are the most biggest fools in all of mankind's history. Because if there is no resurrection, there is no promise of the afterlife. But the Bible says, but there is a resurrection. Even Jesus told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Though you die, you will live forever. And he makes it personal. Do you believe this, Martha? Martha says, I believe that you're the Son of the living God. I am the resurrection and the life. And so the power of the resurrection, we don't have any power, but there's power when Jesus comes upon us. And then, of course, there's joy. The joy of the Lord becomes our strength. You show me a person that's lacking at least five of those, and I'll show you a person who is not walking in the light. He's walking in darkness, without any peace, without any bread, with no water, with no rest, with no power, and no joy. There are a lot of people. Your coworkers are like that. You can name some of your coworkers. Sure, Lucy doesn't have any light. Lucy's always upset. Man, Lucy ain't got no power. She always has different boyfriends that mess with her head. She's never joyful. She's always freaking out. You know people like that. But yet, as a Christian, the life that God offers us is this one. Now, I added other elemental blessings that are not there, that God gives us. Hope, love, assurance, eternal life, forgiveness, security, freedom. You see, these words are so powerful words. Because someone who lives a midlife like myself, these are power words. A midlifer needs hope. Hope for another day. Hope that your HMO approves whatever you need to have. You need to have love. You need to know that you're loved. One of my greatest mental, emotional hygiene solutions for me to keep mental health is to know that my wife loves me. That's it. Do you love me? Do you love me? That's what she asked. When she was horrified. She looked like a cauliflower from all the prednisone and all the steroids she was taking from the chemo. It was horrible. And she was sitting in that wheelchair that is also a toilet. And she sits there, and she's out of nowhere. Millie says, "Do you love me?" What do you say? "Oh, shut up, man. I got to do this." "I can't do that." And I just showed her my ring. I said, "I promise you, in bad times, in good times, in sickness and in health, I'll always be with you. I love you." It's not sex. It's commitment. It's not being hot in bed. It's loyalty, fidelity, commitment all the way. I'm not going to rank out and go to the back door. "I don't like this life anymore. I'm going to the back way." That's the Peter Pan syndrome. God, how can people walk away from their families and children? It just goes beyond me. What kind of God do they have? And yet I know of men that walked away from a nice house, from a nice wife, from children, just to hit the pipe. Just to hit the pipe. And they're walking around all skinny. "Pray for me, bro." "Pray for what? Pray to what? Pray that God will just take you home? Because you're making life miserable for your children. Pray for what? Honestly, pray for what? Pray that you get better rocks and bigger rocks? Pray for what?" I mean, unbelievable. They have no assurance. They have no eternal life. They have all these other elemental blessings that they're missing. Jesus again said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." What kind of life? Zoe life, abundant life. Not bios, where we get the word biology, plant life, animal life, marine life. He's not speaking about that. He's speaking to you and I, created of God. We had a life apart from sin, but when sin entered, it disrupted that lifestyle. And man was careened into darkness until the second and last Adam came, Jesus Christ. Adam came and brought forth death. Jesus came and brought forth life. We are told that Adam brought damnation and separation from God. But Jesus Christ, the last Adam, came in and reunited man and God through him. This is what he says. "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." What life? The life that belongs to God. It is the life that resembles God himself. He says, "Oya." He says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." You hear this sometimes on Christian television when they're interviewing Christians. When Christians quote this, because they always ask Christians in a panel or on a national television level, they're always asked this question. "You Christians say that everybody will go to hell if they don't accept Jesus. Is that correct?" And we have to say, it isn't us who said that. Jesus said, and we quote John 14:6. It isn't us that said it. It is him who said it. It is Christ who said, "There's no other way except through me." There's no other way. And people say, "There is another way, you know, by being good." No. "You know, there is another way, man, just by not smoking crack." No. "There is another way, just by not cussing." No. Jesus said, "There's no other way." He says, "Anyone who's trying to go another way," he says, "he's a thief and a liar." That is Satan. John chapter 10.
The Gospel of John forces us into a choice, belief or unbelief. Pastor Poncho challenges us not how long have you been going to church or the status of your parents or how good you are, but rather, have you truly believed in Jesus as the Savior and Lord of your life? Pastor Poncho has been teaching us on today's program of On the Level as we continue our series of studies in the Gospel of John, and obviously there's still much more to learn in this gospel, which we'll do on our next program of On the Level. Well, for the latest news and information, to know anything and everything about our ministry here at the Ark Montebello, as well as being able to review this study again, simply go to our official website. That's where you will find everything you need to know about us, all the social media links, as well as being able to hear this study again. Simply go to our website at thearkmontebello.com. That's thearkmontebello.com. At thearkmontebello.com. And then please make it a point to join us for our next program of On the Level with Pastor Poncho Wells.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
On the Level Radio is brought to you by the Ark Montebello in California.